So what did we hear before lunch? What was it about this morning? An analogy of?
Scorpion.
The analogy of the scorpion, yes. What was the, why was this analogy given? Life comes from matter. Mm-hmm. Yes. But actually, there is an unseen factor. An unseen factor that actually activates matter. Okay, what else? Anything else? Krishna is? He is the source of the living entities. Okay? Okay, they get different bodies according to their desires. Yes? Pitta, Pitta. Okay, we heard different ways to understand this, how Krishna is the Father. Yes? And according to the body, behaves and gets happiness or distress. Yes. Which verse did we stop on? I think. Right. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so we continue. Text 6. So now we begin the description of the modes and their effect on the living entity's consciousness, on the nature of the living entities, the material nature of the living entities. So we begin first with goodness. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakamanamayam sukhasangena vadnati jnana sangena chanakha. So Krishna is addressing Arjuna here, O sinless one, anagha. Even though Arjuna is a Kshatriya, but he is principally in that section of goodness, of being free from sin. Because Kshatriyas are ruled by Brahmins, they understand. So they have that goodness. So what does Krishna say here? O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than others, is illuminating and it frees one from sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. So what did we hear here? The first two lines give us the qualities of Sattvagun, and the next two lines give us the result, the conditioning of the jiva. What happens to the jiva when he is under goodness? What's happening? So what are the qualities of that mode? It's pure, nirmala. Nirmala. It is pure. Especially more pure, Prabhupada said, because it's not completely pure. Pure means that there is no contamination of the three gunas. But this sattva is the purest mode that we can find. Compared to others, it is pure. So it's pure, it's nirmalam. And because it is pure, then what two other qualities are there? Prakashakam and anamayam. What is that? Prakashakam? Illuminating. It produces knowledge, produces light, produces more awakened consciousness. So it's illuminating. And what is the other? Anamayam, this means what? It frees from sinful reaction. Anamayam has different meanings. So it basically frees from sinful reaction, but another meaning of anamayam is that it's connected with good health. Because there is no sin, someone who is in goodness, it is to be understood that in his previous lives, he burnt the reactions to sins, or he did not commit any sins, so therefore he has taken a higher birth in goodness. So then the jiva, what does the jiva experience when he is under goodness? It has never happened to us, so we don't know. When the mode of goodness comes over, so how do we feel like? Happy! Free from worries. Happiness also signifies there is peace in the mind. The mind is quiet, peaceful. There is less miseries. And even if there is a little misery, somehow we have the tendency not to be very attached to it. And we are. Why? Because what's the other thing that comes?
Knowledge.
Yeah. One in goodness, he is also happy because he has a way, he knows what's good in life. He knows what produces that goodness. He wants to remain peaceful. He doesn't go to places which are not peaceful. He manages somehow to maintain that level of happiness. So, knowledge, it produces knowledge. And this is all due to the freedom from sinful activities. So this freedom from sinful activities, it helps producing that knowledge and happiness. But actually, what are this knowledge? And Prabhupada said, especially material knowledge produces. But it can also be, spiritual knowledge, to some extent, we can go all the way to understanding we are not this body. So this is good. It's very favorable. But this happiness, this sense of happiness in the material world, and this sense of knowledge that I know, and it's a fact, it's not just knowledge that I know, but it's the capacity to understand things as they are, Prabhupada explains. You know? You see something happening and you understand. Someone who is in ignorance, he sees the same thing happening and he doesn't understand. Cannot understand. The knowledge is not there. It doesn't come. Knowledge is an energy and it's not there. So this capacity to see things in the right proportion, you know, to understand there is time, there is space, there is this, there is that. Someone in goodness will be very tolerant, very patient, right? When he sees, there is some little inconvenience, he knows, it's just a few days and then it will be gone. He doesn't lose his cool. Whereas somebody who is in ignorance is like, oh no, no, no. Immediately becomes very distressed, not understanding. You know, after 2 days it's finished. So what is there to lament? Be a little patient. So this is the mode of goodness. Sometimes it maintains some happiness because of the knowledge. We are able to stay in that happiness. But actually, is there any real happiness in this world? We have heard, what is this world? Dukhalayam, Ashasvatam. This is the nature. So therefore, the one in goodness is in Maya. It's a false conception. It's a conditioning of the mode. You feel good, peaceful, and in the meantime, you're just walking towards death. What is there to be peaceful about? And you think you know, what do you know? As long as you haven't come to devotional service and understand that, you know, we are meant to serve Krishna, then you know nothing. The knowledge is not going to produce the ultimate result if it's just knowledge in goodness. We need transcendental knowledge, as we have heard before. So these are false conceptions, because there is no real happiness in this world, and if there is any happiness, it's temporary. And knowledge of, in goodness, we do not actually get the knowledge of our ultimate real identity. So it is all illusion, ultimately. This is mostly, the knowledge does give some satisfaction and happiness and freedom, but most of the time we are not just in one mode. This is what Krishna is going to explain very soon after. We have mixed modes. So you may have knowledge and at the same time be extremely fruitive. So you'll never be satisfied. It's a mixture. When you see someone who has knowledge who is not happy, it means he is not fully in goodness. He has passion, he has ignorance, and because of those, he gets the misery. Like that. But if there is only goodness or high level of goodness, then Srila Prabhupada gives the example. He says the typical person, it gives people, he says this is the Brahmana. According to the Varnashram system, this is the Brahmana. The Brahmana is in goodness, satisfied, and peaceful. And then Prabhupada says, the scientist, it is on the material level, the scientist is, you know, he has material knowledge, gross physical, he studies physics and all kinds of things, biology or things like this, material things, astronomy, all kinds of sciences. So he is on the level of material knowledge. He says the philosopher. The philosopher means those who are on the, rather the gyanmai, you know, and they think about this world. So he's also on the level of knowledge. He doesn't care whether he had his breakfast or not, you know. The next, because he's absorbed in thinking about something. So he doesn't care of the certain things about life. Therefore, he's never unhappy. The poet, Prabhupada says, those who are poets, they are also absorbed in that level of gyan-mai, mano-mai. So they do not experience, due to their absorption in that knowledge, they are not experiencing all the miseries of life. And they are not hankering for anything. They are peaceful. However, Prabhupada said, but there is difficulty. It's not that it's all positive. This mode of goodness is not all positive. In fact, each of the modes has advantages and disadvantages. So what would be a disadvantage of the mode of goodness? You become proud of the knowledge. Yes, you feel, because one who has knowledge, he also acknowledges that others don't have knowledge. He knows that. So therefore, immediately there is there's a natural thing that it feels superior. And when it feels superior, then that is pride, a sense of complex of superiority. There is pride. And where does pride lead? To where? To passion and ignorance, yes. So that is a degradation. So we are situated in goodness, but the danger is that it produces a sense of superiority. Knowledge means superiority. So it can degrade into passion. Therefore, we were advised that the path of knowledge begins with humility. If knowledge and humility, they rarely go together. We'll find. When we were praising Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, this is one of the main things that everybody said. He had a body, but he had no ego. He had so much knowledge, but if you would just meet him for 5 minutes, you would never come to know about it. It was like that. He had an amazing knowledge, and at the same time, he was completely humble. Always ready to help. I think it's Lokanath Maharaj who gave the story that he wanted to go and meet him in Govardhan. Maharaj was in Vrindavan and Gopi Paranadana was in Govardhan. And it was hot, it was the summer. So Maharaj wanted to go and meet him for some Sanskrit editing work. So he phoned him and said, where should we meet? Gopi Paranadana said, I am in Govardhan. Maharaj said, I am in Vrindavan. So where should we meet? What should we do? Then Maharaj said, I have a vehicle. Meaning he had a car with a driver. And this was there. And he said, so I can go. I can come. And Gopi Paranadana said, I also have a vehicle. I also have a vehicle. I can also come. So Maharaj didn't know what kind of vehicle. So he said, okay, so you come. And then the next thing is that he saw him arriving on a tiny little two-wheeler. Pat, 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 pat. And he arrived from Govardhan on this thing. Maharaj felt almost embarrassed that, I could have gone comfortably. And look at him. He felt he should come in his humility. And he came on this small little vehicle. So he had no sense. No sense of this, feeling that someone should respect him or someone should value him. He had absolutely no sense of that. Yes?
He was also giving a busy lecture in Delhi in a devotee's house. He was taking a class every week. Mm. So from Govardhan, he used to go to this house in Delhi every week. And he was an initiating guru, but he used to travel in the UP roadways bus. From Govardhan, he would go to Delhi, UP Roadways bus, take a class next day again. Somebody would drop him at ashram, and from there he would take the UP Roadways bus and then go to Govardhan.
Yeah. Yes, so this is rarely seen. And therefore, there was no rajas in him. There was no passion. If you meet him, he was like, cool. Yes. What is another problem with goodness? You become what? Yeah, conditioned to what? Of? You feel good. Yeah, you feel good. You feel good. So what's the problem with feeling good? One thing is, you are happy feeling good. It's good. You feel happy. Sukalaya, yes. The whole world is, they believe sarve sukhino bhavanti. We'll just guide them properly. They will all be happy. So, he feels happy and he doesn't understand always the miseries of this world. He doesn't get the impetus to get out of here. The one who is suffering, he knows, let me get out of here. But the one who is like, he's not bothered by anything. So he doesn't get the impetus to get out of this world. So this is a problem. I remember we had a student like this in the Bhakti Shastri, one lady. She was so much in the mode of goodness. And she took her Bhakti Shastri several times. Because she likes so much to hear. She was so happy. She just liked to hear. But there were certain points where you could understand that it's not sinking in. She was just enjoying. Because it was so nice. Everything was so nice. You know, and she was always, you could see in her persona, in the way she dressed, the way she walked, the way she talked, the way she, everything was just in goodness. But no action for spiritual life, like she was a devotee, but no, like, you know, urgency, no, never any urgency. It's like already reached, you know, peaceful. Already reached. There was no urgency to do anything. So this is a problem of the mode of goodness. Yes, it's binding. And then, as you said, we become attached to those things in goodness. There's attachment that takes. And because of that attachment, then there is activity, and then there is the reactions come, and then you have to take your birth again. So this is, we always want more, we want to be more in the mode of goodness, and but the main thing is that someone in the mode of goodness acts in goodness, and somehow or other, when there is some attachment, then it creates reactions, and we take birth again. So these are some little problems here. And we can attach these problems to the varnas also. One time I gave a seminar, long time ago, which is the best varna to be in? And which is the best varna? And I gave a whole seminar on this. And my point was, what I was showing is that in each varna, there are for devotional service. What is the best varna to be in for devotional service? And in each of the varnas, you can find advantages, but because of these modes, in each of the varna, there are disadvantages. So actually, the best varna to be in is the one that we ourselves belong to. Not that we should try to imitate another varna thinking that varna is better. That doesn't work. Because actually, none of the varnas are better. We have to engage ourselves in devotional service, whatever qualities we have. So we can say the Shudra Varna is the worst because it's under... We can say like this, that the Brahmana Varna is the best, but you can see the danger is there. And you can say the Shudra Varna is the worst. Yeah, because he's lazy and he's this and he's that and so many things, can't follow any rules. But at the same time, the Shudra Varna's main characteristic is service to others. So from that point of view, if a Shudra becomes a devotee, usually becomes a very good devotee. Because he serves, it's natural for him. And through service, Krishna becomes pleased. So all the modes have advantages and disadvantages. But in general, the mode of goodness is going to be pointed out to us as the best. Has to be kicked out, yes. No, that was not. I was talking of the varna being advantageous. Yes, varna in itself, which has different qualities. So, let's go to number 7 here. Passion. Raju ragatmakam vidhi trishna sanga samudbhavam tam nivadnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. O son of Kunti, and because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive action. So what is the quality here? Unlimited desires and longings. Whereas the mode of goodness was peaceful, the mind was peaceful. In the mode of passion, there is whirling round. Within the mind, there's a whirling round, so many desires. Which the desire to do what? To enjoy. The desire to enjoy is there. Longings, attraction. Sometimes it is said, Rajo Raga, Ragatmakam, Ragatmakam. Sometimes Raga, it means to see everything colored. Raga always also means colored. We see everything colored by the material desires. Whereas the person in goodness sees the world as it is. Some illusion is there, but kind of sees things as they are. Whereas the person in passion, he sees through the filter of so many material desires. We said the modes are usually mixed, so we are encouraged to cultivate the mode of goodness. The more goodness, the more we see things as they are. And ultimately, the mode of goodness produces the understanding of the separation between the body and the soul. But usually we have a little goodness and also other things. So in that sense. So here the Rajoguna, sometimes it is said that it is like someone who has on his mind so many desires, and everywhere he goes, he sees things according to his desires. Somebody who likes to eat, everywhere he goes, he notices the food stores. Somebody who is very much attracted by the opposite sex, everywhere he goes, he's going, somehow he will think, oh, this one's looking at me, that one's looking at me, this one's looking at me. He will see everywhere, somehow, some customer for his, lust. So this is the problem with this mode of passion, that we start seeing the world through some glasses and we see the world according to our material desires. We notice things according to all these longings and hankerings, and we are always after something or the other. Because Srila Prabhupada says that this mode in the material world is characterized by the attraction between men and women. So this is the hub of the material world. Most of the people are in passion. That this is the domination in this plane of existence. The heavenly kingdom is more in goodness. The lower planets are more in ignorance, but on this level of existence, so there is so much passion, and this attraction is there, and it rules the world. And we see that in the modern world, people get married. If they do, they get married. Why they get married? How do they choose the person that they get married to, and why? They get married to enjoy. There is no knowledge of the path of duty, the path of purification. It is not there. In the modern world, people come together to enjoy. They choose their partner according to the type of happiness that they derive from the relationship. Otherwise, so usually it begins with attraction, there is attraction, and then after that, there is a nice period of romance. It's very nice. We see in the movies, when we used to watch movies, there is the romance. And then after some time, they start picking faults. Start the romance goes away, the passion, which is there in the beginning, because then you stay always with the same person, so regulation, same, some kind of something else comes in, and then you start seeing the faults. And when you see the faults, then there is conflict. And when conflict comes, then there is divorce. So this is the passion. Because everything is there for sense enjoyment. Whereas in goodness, well, there is no such kind of thing. We see in the Vedic culture that this attraction between men and women is supposed to be somehow kept, you know, everyone knows that this is not the way to go. And marriages are arranged. We see this in India, still it is working. They arrange the marriages. And when they arrange the marriages, it's based on goodness, at least sometimes. Because they also arrange for, you know, for business, for so many things. But otherwise, they match the persons in such a way that they will stay together their whole life. At least 25, 30 years they have to stay together. So there has to be a common ground. And that's not sense gratification. Sense gratification will end and it will bring conflict. So, but unfortunately, Prabhupada says, when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. And then for sense gratification, a man in the mode of passion wants some honor in society. He wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife, house. These are all products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard. So this is the effect of passion. What is the effect of passion? It produces hard work. You see the whole world, people are running, working so hard. Why are they working so hard? Because of so many material desires. And they have to fulfill that. They are working hard to get sense gratification, which includes getting some distinction in society, some position in society, some recognition, and as well as, you know, property and this and that, everything. And in this way, they become bound. So Srila Prabhupada says that the whole material world is more or less in the mode of passion. Modern civilization is considered to be advanced in the standard of the mode of passion. Formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in the mode of goodness. If there is no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, as we said, it's binding, what to speak of those who are entangled in the mode of passion? Those in goodness, even they are entangled, so what to speak of the passionate people? So what are the symptoms of a civilization in Rajoguna? Prabhupada says, in this world we can see the standard is the mode of passion. What are some things which are born in the society, in the modern society, from the born mode of passion?
Fighting, unnecessarily quarrels and fighting.
Quarrels, yeah. Quarrels are a bit born from the mode of ignorance, but it starts with rajas. What else is there in the modern society which is born of passion? Yes?
Consumerism.
Yes. More. Eat more. Buy more. Do more. See more. Hear more. All the advertising is in the mode of passion. Yes, what else is there? The mode of passion?
No time for spirituality.
No time for spirituality. Sometimes no time to die even. No time. I don't have time. No time. Yes. What else is there?
Competition.
Envy. Yes. Anything else?
Never satisfied.
Yes. There is greed. Always wanting more. The traffic in the cities, amazing traffic, never stops, 24 hours, people are going somewhere, coming from somewhere. It's very amazing. Fast food, no time to eat. They eat while walking. When I went to America, at least Europe is still a little cultured. When I went to America the first time, I was so amazed. I had never seen that in my life. As soon as I arrived in the airport itself, there were all these people walking around with food in their hands. In India, it is known that it's very like low class to eat in public, first of all. You eat in a separate place, and then you don't eat standing, you sit. You know, you take time, you sit and you eat. In America, no time. So in one hand, they had these big barrels, big cups of Coca-Cola. Big, like this. You know, it's like 3/4 liter or something. It's a small one. So they have this, and there is a lid on the top. It's like a plastic cup or something. And then there is a lid on the top with a hole and a pipe. And then a straw. So there is the straw with the thing. And then in the other hand, usually the left hand, they have a burger. Which a burger means it's a piece of bread with an unlimited number of layers of things in the middle, because there is meat also and this and that, and then there is red sauce, tomato sauce in between each layer, and then it's wrapped in a piece of paper, and then it's amazing. And then you see these people, you know, with the tie and pants and shirt and, you know, even more. They wear a jacket also, like, you know. And then they are walking everywhere on the streets, in the airport, in the buses and the trains. They walk around and they try to bite on this thing and all the red sauce is coming out. And then they drink also. And some of them are so large. But very, very large. Don't worry, Sita Rani, you are very good size. It's in America, it's very, very large.
They have special stores for clothes.
And they also have human rights for fat people who are like extra. They have rights for them. That we have the right to be like this, which is okay. But how they became like this? Because from childhood, the parents are not taking care of their children. They're lucky if they know who their parents are. So, and at home nobody is there. So the child comes back from school on his own, switches on the TV and opens a pack of, because mommy is not there to cook. I mean, they never cook. They don't know cooking. So they open a pack of chips or peanuts or any kind of junk food, and they pop that in the mouth constantly while watching the TV for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, until the parents come back. And for, there is child obesity. Children of 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, they are obese. When they go in the plane, they buy 2 seats. Yes, we have seen. They buy 2 seats in the planes. So this is the disease. And fast food. They said if you want to die quickly, you just eat at McDonald's every day. So it's all based on getting immediate results. There is a lot of impatience. As soon as they look very cool like this, but as soon as something goes wrong, immediately they get extremely annoyed. Yes. Of course, it is based on sex life. Most of the businesses, everything, it's for dressing, perfuming, hairdressing. It's for all kinds of things which are related to somehow enhancing the attractiveness of the body. It's all based on that. And of course, there is the philosophy is more is better. It's a philosophy. More is better. Yeah. Money is the honey. This is passionate society. Money is the honey. Industrial production, instead of peacefully producing in the countryside. No, they have taken over all the land and they are serving somehow in industries. And who are the leaders of such bewildered people? Shudras, Prabhupada said. Maximum Vaishyas, usually Shudras. Ignorant people themselves. And cow slaughter, of course, is the symbol of such civilization. So what would be a society in goodness?
Would cow slaughter be more like ignorance?
Passion and ignorance, they go together. What would be in goodness? What would be a society in goodness instead of this? What? Yes, there should be a basis of agriculture. A peaceful society, yes. So what would it look like?
It's like more like live and let live kind of society.
Sorry?
Live and let live. No quarrels.
No quarrels, okay.
Simple
living, high thinking, people will have time to sit and to think, they will discuss together.
Eat to live,
not live to eat. Yes, the passionate society lives to eat, and the peaceful society eats to live, to conserve this body. Yeah, people cook their own food in goodness, not fast food, McDonald's and all this. You cook your own food, family food. What else? Peaceful relationships among the families. Yes, families, communities, living together, not huge megalopolis. You know, when you land in Boston, you can drive how many? 700, 800 kilometers without seeing any field, right? It's all cities. They call it the megalopolis, they call it. A polis is a city, very, very large city. On the eastern coast of America, isn't it? All the cities are clustered together. Many of them are clustered together. Yes or no? Yes, they are clustered together. There's no countryside. It's sitting.
No, it's not so many kilometers. It's like it's the hub. There's a downtown.
Yeah.
And it's just... Oh. US has a lot of land.
Inside.
It has a lot of land. It's three times more than India.
Yeah.
And population is one third of India. So it has so much land.
Yeah.
And what you are speaking about is along the coast where they had cities.
Yes.
You are right, city is like concrete jungle. You don't see one tree.
Yeah. Very, very.
For 25 miles, you don't see.
Yes.
It's a concrete jungle.
Yes. Yes, with buildings that are so tall, and there are no names on the streets. Now in India it has come also. You know, normally in the cities you have the name, this is Avenue of Professor so and so, and this is the street of this one, that one. But in America it's, what does it call?
Numbers.
Street. First street, second street, third street, 24th street, 56th street, 108th street, First Avenue. So you have the avenue and then you have the streets. So First Avenue, Second Avenue, 10th Avenue, 20th Avenue, and then there is the 108th street. And you can find the house number, the floor number, the person's number. And this is all in passion. Cleanliness would be also a standard for a society in goodness. And the goal of a society in goodness is, you know, to achieve some superior happiness, to achieve some spiritual goal. That should be the goal of self-realization. It should be based on some shastra. The leaders should be enlightened by the mode of goodness. There should be values such as truthfulness, mercy, long-term vision. In the passionate society, there is always short-term vision, enjoy now. But so these are some things that we can witness, and everything begins with the modes. We are controlled by. Number 8. Tamas tvangyana jam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramadalasya nidrabhistani badnati bharata. O son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness born of ignorance is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The result of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. Srila Prabhupada says, in this verse, the specific application of the word tu, which means tamas tu agyana jam vidhi, is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. So can't understand anything. In the mode of goodness, you can understand more or less clearly. In the mode of passion, it's mixed. You understand things, you know, not for the wrong purpose and this and that. And in the mode of ignorance, you have no clue what's going on. Those who are so much in ignorance, they can't even work hard to achieve their goals, and in fact they don't have any goals. So this is tamas. Agyanaja. It is born of ignorance. And what is its quality? It obscures. The mode of ignorance obscures. It is very delusive. And its effect, madness, indolence, and sleep. So what is mad about the person in ignorance?
Still, his worship, you know, and not understanding that that will not lead anywhere.
Yes, that's it. So everybody is covered. You know, it's a special because this mode of ignorance, even though we may say that in the world someone is in passion, someone is in ignorance, someone is in goodness, but actually everyone is first under ignorance. This is the first layer of coverings. And some people have only that layer, very less of others, and some have ignorance plus more passion, and some have ignorance plus little, some goodness. But this mode of ignorance is always there. And therefore everybody is working hard and not especially, you know, going for self-realization because of that covering of ignorance. And indolence means laziness. He's lazy, materially lazy. It says, Prabhupada, they are not even active like the man who is controlled by the mode of passion. So he won't even work, the lazy man. By work one gets enjoyment, sense gratification. The lazy bum, he won't even do that. And then spiritually, of course, very lazy. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya. That is a characteristic. And sleep, Prabhupada says, means that he sleeps more. Otherwise, everyone sleeps. But normal people sleep 6 to 8 hours. And the one who is overly controlled by ignorance, then? 10, 12. Wakes up at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Sunday. In the modern world, in the modern cities, on Sunday, everybody takes breakfast in bed. But don't get up to eat because they wake up very late, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, feels a little hungry, gets a little biscuit, a little coffee, and sits back in the bed and drink the thing, goes back to sleep. By 12 o'clock, again wakes up and thinks, oh, this is the life. I remember when I was a child, there was this culture that on Sunday, you must sleep. That was the culture on Sunday. No one would get up before 10. It's just a culture like this. So, must be that. Yes. And what else Prabhupada said? There is an other things, always dejected. What means dejected?
Morose.
You know, in bad mood. And addicted to intoxicants. So usually those who are in the mode of ignorance, they like to forget that they are in ignorance. So they accentuate the mode by taking intoxicants. Already they are not very lucid. And on top of it, they take some intoxicants. And then sleeping. Yes. So, lazy person. Difficult to understand. Someone who is so lazy. There was that story. I think Prabhupada told that story of the one man who said he would feed all the lazies. So he organized a big feeding party in a big house or a pandal or something. And he organized and they laid all the mats and this and that for all the lazies. So, and all the lazy people came. So many of them. Never knew there were so many lazies because there was free food. All the lazy people came and they all lined up. And then they set fire to the house. So what happened? All the people got up and ran, except two. Two of them, they were sitting there. And one told the other, "Buh, buh," which meant, back burning. And the other one replied, Ma'a, move aside. So both of them were staying there, even though everything was burning, but they were too lazy to get up and go. So the guy who was organizing the feeding, he said, okay, you two are qualified. He saved a lot of money. So to be lazy, something like it dulls one. At the cost of one's life, you know, these two were sitting there because too lazy, oh no, we just arrived, now we have to go again. So we have to be very careful of this mode in devotional service because this would be very contrary to our advancement. One who is lazy, for example, will not even take the step to go to hear a class, will not take the step to get to some person, to get association, will not make any efforts, you know, to follow the sadhana properly because of laziness. So it is little dangerous. And will also not, the purification will not take place quickly because one will think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I have some anarthas, it's okay, they can wait. So it is very dangerous. I remember when I many years ago, I had some service for my Guru Maharaj and I was very new. So Maharaj called me in the evening, 7 o'clock, and told me so many things, and it was the first time I was getting service, so I was like, wow. Why is he telling all these things to me? So I was noting down this, that. There was to do this, to do that, to do this, to call that, to purchase that. So I kind of noted things down and then I left and it was RT time. So I put the thing in my bag and I went to see the RT and then I would talk with the devotees and then I went back to my room and I went to sleep and next morning I wake up, I went to Mangal Arati, I chanted all my rounds, I did this, I did that, and again I talked with the devotees and then I took breakfast and then suddenly there was a knock on the door and it was Maharaj's servant. And he said, are you ready? Maharaj wants to see you now. Okay. So I took my bag and everything and I went. And then I arrived in front of Maharaj and he said, he remembered the whole list. He didn't note down, but he remembered the whole list. And he said, did you do this? Did you do that? 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 And I went like... I didn't even understand. I thought I was just here to take the notes. I mean, I had to do that? And when should I do it? I mean, we finished at 7 and now it's 10 and I didn't have time. And he said, what do you mean you didn't have time? Between 7 last night and 10 this morning, you didn't have time? What is it? You didn't have time? And I must say that within a week, my tamogun was blown out. It was totally blown out. Yeah. So we have to engage in devotional service. Take some active responsibility in devotional service, not just come and, can I do a little service, Prabhuji, for 1 hour? No, we should take a responsibility. And then our tamogun is going to be blown away because we're going to have to do things. And we have to be pushed by the sense of responsibility, otherwise we'll sit. So this is the mode of ignorance. And then Krishna summarizes the whole thing here. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati raja karmani bharata jnanam avrityatuttamaha pramade sanjayatyuta. O son of Bharata, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion condition one to fruitive action. And ignorance covering one's knowledge binds one to madness. So this is a summary here. This is a summary of these things. Satisfaction comes from goodness. Fruitive mentality comes from passion. And self-destruction comes from ignorance. We destroy, we hurt others and hurt ourselves. There is a reference in 4.26.1. Srila Prabhupada explains, when the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, its infection becomes very acute. This is 4.26.1. When the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, its infection becomes very acute. So the influence of the mode, Prabhupada compares to an infection, contamination. When it is influenced by the mode of passion, the infection is at the symptomatic stage. However, when the body is influenced by the mode of goodness, the materialistic infection becomes purified. So these are some other actions here. In the mode of ignorance, we are completely polluted by material nature. We are totally controlled by it. And in passion, well, symptomatic means you look sick. You're just about to be sick. Because from passion you go to ignorance. And when we are in goodness, so that's the time when you can understand some purification has taken place and is taking place. So when we preach to people, we should also understand to which mode they belong. Because they are not all going to react in the same way. If you try to explain knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to somebody who is completely in tamogun, it's not going to work. How would you preach to someone in ignorance? I would tell him that Krishna consciousness is a perpetual holiday. Might be attracted. Someone who is in knowledge, in goodness, we know he likes knowledge, so we can give some philosophy. And someone who is in passion, we can show him his self-interest, what he will gain, free lodging and boarding. Then he'll get attracted. Oh yes, very nice. Then characteristics of these modes. Rajastamascha vibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata rajasattvam tamascheva tamasattvam rajastatha. This is an important thing to understand here. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the mode of passion and ignorance. O son of Bharata, sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. So the modes are competing. They are imbalanced. When the modes are completely balanced, this is the state of pradhan. The pradhan is the state of prakriti in which the modes are completely balanced. But as soon as the Lord glances at them, the living entities enter the pradhan, then it sets into motion due to the desires of the living entities. And then the modes are imbalanced. And what is important to understand is the balance keeps shifting. So when we are in goodness, we should not expect that it's going to last. And similarly, when we are sad and depressed, if we are a little smart, we should understand that this also will not last. Because it keeps coming up and down. Sometimes it is goodness, sometimes it is passion that is prominent. Prabhupada says this competition is always going on. Now, how do we know which mode is prominent? Because these modes have symptoms, and their symptoms are going to manifest in the way we speak, the way we eat, the way we sleep, the way we deal with people, the way we act. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have been given a list of 10 items by which one can understand which mode one is in, and by which one can also act upon those modes and transform the modes. These items are, number one, religious scriptures. If we read scriptures, one who desires to cultivate the mode of goodness, he should study religious scriptures that teach detachment from mental speculation and material sense gratification. Because there are different types of scriptures. We read that Vyasadeva, he wrote for everybody. So if we start reading the Karmakanda sections, that if you do this yajna, you will get that, and if you do that yajna, you will get this, then our fruitive mentality is going to grow. And when the fruitive mentality grows, then the passion grows. So in this way we can affect the mode that controls us by the scriptures that we read. And of course, if you read some nonsense novels, then you will come under passion. If you read some thriller, they call it, some thing that makes you, some horror books and all that, then you will become afraid, you'll come under ignorance. Then there is water. Water is very important, because water is something that purifies, that brings purity. We should drink pure water. Always be careful what kind of water we drink. Some people, in fact, the standard in the past was to drink water from the well or water from a flowing river. And that's it. Should drink water from a flowing river or from a well. Practical, isn't it? Very practical.
Especially in Delhi.
In a clay pot, yes. So the water should be pure. Accept pure water, and that's not only for quenching the thirst, but that's for bathing also. When we take bath, we should make sure that the water is clean. Not just take any liquid that stayed in the bucket for a few days and think you're taking bath. It should be clean. And then there is association, the kind of association we keep. Regarding water, Srila Prabhupada says, one should accept pure water for quenching thirst and cleaning the body. There is no need for a devotee to use cologne, you know, cologne, okay, perfume, whiskey, beer, which are all polluted manifestations of water. Do you want to know what is whiskey? It's a polluted manifestation of water. It's polluted by ignorance. And all the perfumes and all this, it's all a polluted manifestation of water. So associate with people who are in goodness. Prabhupada says, what is next? Association. The place, that's number four. As we know, Prabhupada told us that the city is, the village of the city is in passion. The forest is in goodness, and the places where sinful activities go on, they are in ignorance. So we should choose what places we want to spend our time in, because as we sit in one place, we become influenced. Like when we come here to the Goshala, if you noticed, as soon as you cross the gate, it's a very nice influence, isn't it? You can feel the influence as soon as you enter, and there's grass and the field and the cows, and you can feel immediately the change. So it affects us. Then activities, what we do, that will also affect us. If we study, we cultivate the mode of goodness. If we start running, the mode of passion will be awakened. If we start eating some nonsense food that was cooked 10 days ago and smells bad, we are calling for the mode of ignorance. Then there is birth. Birth is also in the mode. From our birth, we heard. From the birth, we are either, we get a high birth or we get a low birth. Srila Prabhupada said we can cultivate birth in the mode of goodness by accepting the second birth of initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and learning to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we change our birth by initiation and we are no longer low birth. Meditation, that also, we have to choose the object of meditation. Mantra, which mantras we chant. Some mantras are in passion, some are in ignorance, some are in goodness, and some are transcendental. The purificatory rituals, they are also in the modes. So these are 10 items altogether. And the idea with these 10 items...
Nine.
You got 9? Scriptures, water, association, place, time, activities. Huh? Oh, I missed the time. So the time. That's it, 10. The time. Morning is in goodness. 1 o'clock in the afternoon is in passion. We get hungry. We want to get out of the classroom. And evening is in ignorance. So the idea with these modes is that they constantly shift from one to the other. And the idea is that if the mode is within ourselves, then the symptoms will manifest externally. Like if there is an influence of tamas inside, then gradually we will feel like lying down. Right? If the mode of ignorance is inside, we will want to lie down. But what we should also understand is that if we are feeling fine and we lie down, to lie down is symptomatic of tamas. There are 3 positions of the body: standing, sitting, lying. Standing is in goodness. Standing is in passion. Sitting is in ignorance, in goodness. And lying is in ignorance. So if there is the mode in the ignorance inside, we will feel like lying down. And then ignorance will further increase. And if we are not in ignorance and we lie down, there is a good chance that after some time, same thing, the mode of ignorance will increase. So it was not inside, but we brought it by practice, Srila Prabhupada says, by practice. We bring it outside and then the inside changes. Prabhupada said, if one wants, one can develop by practice the mode of goodness, which means we have to practice the symptoms of goodness and thus defeat the mode of ignorance and passion. One can similarly develop the mode of passion and defeat goodness and ignorance. Like we know in the morning, when we are chanting japa and we fall asleep, what should we do? You stand. Because when we are sitting and the mode of ignorance is coming, then what is next best is passion. So you should get up. So the mode of passion will come. And the mode of ignorance, meaning, will go. All one can develop the mode of ignorance and defeat goodness and passion. So we can provoke the shift by practice of the symptoms. And then Srila Prabhupada explained that sattva gun leads to even a further state. So one thing is to shift the modes from, they shift from one to the other. But there is a fourth state of existence which is called Vasudev. It is the transcendental state of existence. And if we want to achieve that stage, then we should rather cultivate goodness. And goodness will serve as a platform to go on that stage. Srila Prabhupada explains, although there are these three modes of material nature, if one is determined, he can be blessed by the mode of goodness. And by transcending the mode of goodness, he can be situated in pure goodness, which is called the Vasudev state, a state in which one can understand the science of God. All right, we'll do one more verse. Very nice verse. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasha upajayate jnanam yada tada vidya vivriddham sattva ichyuta. The manifestations of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. There are 9 gates in the body, we heard that. When every gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. So what does that mean here? That all the gates are illuminated by goodness? Prabhupada says something, that what one can hear things in the right position. You hear correctly. One can taste things in the right position. Like if you are sick, then whatever you put in your mouth, it's bitter or it has no taste. What does it mean otherwise? Any other meaning for this here, manifestation of the mode of goodness in the gates? Okay, that's a very good meaning. Proper utilization of the gates, not misusing. If we are using the mouth, for example, to eat some meat, then that is misuse. Because eating meat is a mode of ignorance. If you eat meat, you can understand. Your mouth, your taste is not in goodness. So we should properly use the gates. Yes. What else? We should clean all the gates, he says. Yes, okay. We should clean all the gates properly. You can learn that from an Ayurvedic physician. Ayurveda, he will teach how to clean all the gates properly so that they always remain clean, free from disease. There's also another meaning of this. All the gates are free from disease. They function properly also. And as we said, they should be properly used, means that all the gates are directed by knowledge. If there is knowledge, if goodness is there, then knowledge is there. So the activities of the gates, they are directed by knowledge. You will do things at the proper time. You will eat in proper proportion because knowledge is there and it's guiding the activities of the gate. And so it is said, as I said, there will be no disease in the but also that the gates will not cause disease. And if we don't eat the proper things due to the mode of passion or ignorance, then disease is created. So the gates will not cause disease. And also, we will be attracted to objects of goodness. Like, we'll like to hear something in goodness, the birds singing, or you know, some nice bhajan, some things in goodness or more. We will like to see, we'll attract it, for example, to colors that are in goodness. We will not like if it's like too bright or if it's too dull. We'll like colors in goodness. So we'll be attracted to that. It also means that we'll be regulated, because one of the signs of goodness is regulation. So when all these symptoms of goodness are there, then there is purity and purification that takes place. Any questions or comments about these things? Yes? You say we should practice the symptoms of goodness in these 10 items? Yeah, we can make an endeavor. See, the point with Krishna consciousness is that by chanting and practicing all the aspects of devotional service, we automatically are elevated to goodness. But knowing these factors, we can also enhance the goodness. By the way do you decorate your house, the way you dress, the way you deal with people, all these items that are mentioned, you can be careful to keep them in goodness. So that way you are working from two sides. And what is especially useful is to avoid the association of these things in passion, in ignorance. Because otherwise, if you don't avoid, then on one hand you are chanting Hare Krishna, the mode of goodness is growing, and then on the other hand you keep your house dirty and the mode of ignorance is creeping in. So you have to avoid especially the symptoms of passion and ignorance. And if you want, you can also enhance. As it is, as devotees, we are told to live in goodness. So we have to learn that. It's not optional. We need to learn. Although for some people it can be optional, those who are completely absorbed, already, you know, on a different platform. I remember Kushakrata Prabhu when he was here. His house was such a thing. He used to drink 1 liter bottles of water, plastic, and he would just go buy the bottle, drink it and dump it. And his house, sometimes from outside we would see the bottles piling against the window. Hundreds of them. He would just drink and dump, and all day he was absorbed in translating, writing poetry, and he was oblivious. So for him it didn't matter. He was in the transcendental Vrindavan. But in general for us it matters. Our environment should be in goodness. Otherwise it will pull us down. Yeah. All right. Okay, so I wish you a happy Sunday. Mm-hmm.